And we are preparing to stream. I believe we're almost there. Probably there now.
Are we live?
And probably, yes, here we go. Okay. All right, let me make sure that my thing is muted. Boom. Okay. Hello and good afternoon, everybody. It is Angie Atkinson, and I'm here with the lovely and talented Lise Colucci. Lise, welcome back, and thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Lise, for those of you who are new around here, she is one of my fellow coaches over at queenbeing.com. She's one of my partners. Love her. She's amazing. And you guys are going to love her too if you haven't met her yet. So just so you know, this stream on Tuesday afternoons is usually one I do with Dana Morningstar. She's out for a couple of weeks. So Lise has been so gracious as to fill in. And as we're doing this, we realize we really enjoy this, right? So we're also going to be bumping over to a second live stream per week on Fridays, starting ASAP, hopefully this Friday. and for now, we'll be doing that on this channel. We'll see if we may in the future alternate channels the way that Dana and I do. Now, for this situation, let me tell you a couple things really quick business, and we're going to get right into our discussion. Number one, if you want to be notified of these live streams so you can participate while they're happening, you can subscribe to this channel. Might as well subscribe to Lisa's channel while you're at it. Hit the bell notification. And then if you don't get your notifications or you're worried that you might not, because we all know YouTube is a little loopy sometimes with notifications, you can send a text, Angie Live, all one word, or Lise Live, all one word, L-I-S-E-L-I-V-E, or A-N-G-I-E-L-I-V-E to 33222. And then we'll send you a text 5 minutes or 10 minutes before we go live each time, together or separately. All right. Anything I forgot today? Nope. We'll move on.
Yeah.
I think if I forgot anything, maybe our mods will be here. I see Hufflemom's coming.
Anything that's needed will be down in the comments in the main description of your video.
Yes. Probably. Yes. So. And I will link to Lisa's channel. And when our admin, when our moderator Hufflemom gets here, she'll pop all of our reminders in chat, and anything I forgot will be there. All right. So today we thought we would talk. Hey, everybody. Today we thought we would start to, let's talk about anger, because it's a big issue for a lot of us, right? Mm-hmm. So really quickly, I want to let you know, in my own situation, what I experienced was it took me a while to get angry. And when I finally did, I was able to use that anger productively to propel myself forward and out of the situation. Thank goodness. However, okay, let me roll back. When it was my toxic parent, I was angry a lot. But it wasn't until one moment that I sort of realized everything that had happened and all the betrayals and everything in a single moment. I literally felt something sort of break inside me. And I was mad and I was angry to the point that I went no contact without even knowing what no contact was. Thank goodness. However, with that being said, it was a little different with my ex. It took a little longer, but once I got angry, I used that anger to propel myself forward and out of the relationship. Then, I don't know, probably 6 months later or something, I found myself feeling just seething with anger. And I realized it was becoming toxic to me because everything had sort of started to balance out in my life and was getting better, but I couldn't stop being angry all the time. And so this is at the point at which I started to work on releasing the anger. And I can talk more about later about how I did that. I've talked about it many times in the past. And then I was able to start to move forward and heal. So I want to ask Lise, can you talk to me about anger and narcissistic abuse recovery?
It happens different for different people. Like, I think I'm similar to you where I don't really get angry until I do. Mm-hmm. And then when I do, it's like you hold on to it like for dear life and you use it to throw yourself through something. And then you have to process what's actually behind the anger. And often there's sadness and grief and loss. And there's a whole lot of emotions that are underneath that anger that,
yes,
that if you had used at the time would have turned into empathy for the abuser. And so it got all mixed up. So the anger is super useful when you're in that anger phase, if you can use it to move through.
Uh-huh.
And then, like you're saying, you got to process in order, because if you stay in that angry state, if you stay angry all the time at everyone and the world and the situation, you end up living a life that's very behind a wall of anger and it's full of bitterness and resentment instead of moving forward into thriving. And so it can be your ally, and then it can turn into something that becomes toxic for you, like Angie was saying. So, and then I see people who are also really angry types of people, like they're more apt to get angry and to have this fire in them, you know, which is like, most of us are like, I wish I could have that. Right. And, And that can become reactive. And then, so then there's a reactive abuse side that can start happening.
Yes.
And so anger has its place is what I'm saying. And also we got to process and move through it and move on. And
I just absolutely. Yeah. And it's such a, you know, I was just thinking at least about a situation, and we won't go into a whole bunch of detail, but you know the one I'm talking about, where we had a person who was almost trying to encourage survivors to stay angry.
Oh yeah.
Mm. Right. Mm. And I think the problem with this is that anger is very toxic to your body. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's toxic to your mental health, physical health, everything. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are not using it productively, which at some point you can no longer use it productively, right, then I think it becomes toxic, like poison almost.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize. You know, you see, you see creators who sometimes, and I'm talking about YouTube or TikTok or whatever, creators who are still in the process of going through their own healing. And I think that healing is always an ongoing thing, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like we always have, even now, many years later, I have my moments where I need to like, oh, hold on, let me roll back and figure out what this is about, you know? Right.
Mm-hmm.
But when you've got people that are still like in the relationship and they're trying to teach other people how to heal from it, or you've got people who are just out and still very raw, it's important to understand that sometimes what they're doing is more about getting support for themselves and getting mm-hmm. validation for mm-hmm. their experience than it is about helping other people. Right.
Yes, absolutely. It's like justifying the anger in themselves. Yeah. By saying, see how it helps.
Right.
Yes, it helps for a time. And you said something. Now I'm going to have to come back to it because it's gone. You said something really good there. And I was that right there. But yeah. Yeah.
That happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but it's an issue. And I want people to understand that while I believe most people who are out here talking about this stuff are doing so, I would say the majority are doing so with good intentions. It's just really important to understand the difference between someone who's offering, you know, here's how I healed, or someone who's saying, I'm so angry, you know, and encouraging people to be angry. And I can't remember the exact details, but yes. Okay.
I remembered what it was. It was that everybody processes and handles and goes through anger differently. And
yes.
when people are coming to it from a really narrow perspective of this is the only way, this is my way, I don't think either one of us is saying that. We're saying, yeah, some of you are going to feel really angry, and that's part mm-hmm. of your drive, and you need it in your life to, you know, navigate. And others of us aren't used to the anger. And so it's going to be different for everyone. And so mm-hmm. coming at it for like saying that anger is your way through, that is to me, not very helpful for a lot of people. And you got to be careful. Because while it can look really inspiring, like, oh, I wish I could be like that, there's also the flip side of it where that we don't know that person's life. Are they having healthy, functioning, happy relationships that are not filled with anger? I don't know. Because I like to use anger.
That's valid.
Yes. That's, yeah.
Yes. And I think this is a thing. Okay. So there have been, I'm just going to tell you straight out, there have been situations where I've been working with clients who were stuck, and they were either stuck in the relationship or just out of it and feeling lost and like they were in limbo, hoping mm-hmm. for the relationship to get better or come back. And in those cases, very specific cases, those people were feeling weak mm-hmm. and they were feeling sad and they were feeling helpless and hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
And so in those cases, I've said, you need to get mad, honey. Right?
Same thing. Uh-huh.
Yes. Because sometimes anger can be productive, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's not productive when it's not propelling you forward, when it's just resting in your body and taking sort of affecting the people around you in negative ways. You know, you're past that part. Yeah. Okay.
Well, you start projecting it, right? When you get that angry, you're projecting it onto everything. And yes. that can just affect your whole life as well as those around you. So.
Yeah. And it can ruin your life in so many ways. I know that sounds dramatic, right?
No, but it's true.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so do you want to jump into the chat or do you have anything else to say before we do that?
I think either way, whatever. If there's a bunch of questions, go for it.
Yeah, let's get started on that. Okay, so let's see. We have, oh, hello, Harmony. Thank you. Marianne, Jack Lumen, Dell, Bill. Hello, everybody. How does my microphone sound, guys? I'm just curious because I just got a new microphone. Okay. let's see.
I'm liking it from where I'm sitting. So
thank you. I'm so glad. I've been working really hard to find the right thing that would. One problem I've had in the past with microphones, and this is just really off topic, but I'm going to go real quick.
Anger to microphones.
Hello. Sometimes I get an echo where the other people hear themselves, mm-hmm. and that's bad. So I work. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I found the right thing. Okay. Ama says, I hope I can get past this. It seems very hard. It is definitely not easy, but you can. And I'll talk more about that in a moment about how I did it. And then maybe Lise can offer some thoughts as well. Joey says, so right. It was like an epiphany when I realized how my mom has been with me all of my life. I slowly went no contact. And now my stepdad is trying to reach out to me, feeling like I've got to block. Hey, I'm not trying to be rude, but I think you should block him if it helps you. If you're not ready, Joey, or you don't want to deal with him and you've been going through narcissistic abuse, and even we all know that continues into adulthood, even when you're an adult and those are your parents. I went no contact with my toxic parents. So I think it's a good idea. It takes away so much of that pressure. I literally, even though I had to go through the grieving period, like everyone does when this happens, I literally felt a weight lift off my chest almost instantly mm-hmm. in that process. Lise, do you have any thoughts for Joey?
Ongoing no contact with
a parent and a step-parent. Should he block his stepdad?
The stepdad's like a flying monkey. Is that
yep.
what I'm... Yeah, unfortunately, that's a direct link back to, not only a direct link back to the narcissistic parent, but one that lives in the same house with them, presumably, or that is, you know, close. So they are really feeding them information, whether they want to or not, every time you talk to them. So it's either set the firmest boundaries you possibly can in life and try to live by that, or no contact.
Right. Agreed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Willow says, I'm not angry at the world, not at all, but I am angry to have spent almost 2 years. I'm sorry to laugh. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the way you put it, but washing and folding adulterous clothing. I get that. Mm-hmm. Adulterous. I've never seen it put that way, but I totally get that. And I would be pretty friggin' angry at that as well. Mm-hmm. Is it helping you at this point, Willow, to feel that way? Is it helping you to propel forward and away from that relationship? Or is it stopping you from going forward from there? Let us know. Any thoughts about the washing and folding adulterous clothing?
I would ask, what are you doing to process the anger so you could get underneath it to feel what it is? I mean, I know if that were me, I would have a whole lot of feelings behind the anger, like anger's the door holding back the things that I need to process. Mm-hmm. So is there anything you're doing to process the anger and work through it? And that's totally righteous anger. I mean, that's, you were wronged. There's nothing to feel except mad about that.
You're allowed to be
angry. Other things to feel, yeah. But it's justifiable, right? So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Let's see. Oh, 75 says, not one therapist has been able to show me how to move on. I worked mm-hmm. in mental health. Willpower is a myth. Yes. There's actually evidence of that, like in many research studies, and I can't quote any off the top of my head, but I know I've read some that willpower is a myth. Call it whatever you want to call it, but I personally had to go through a little process that I sort of made up, and it's a long story, but anyway, long story short, I wrote a letter to this person and I wrote everything that I felt in great painstaking detail, including every cuss word I thought, every mean thing I thought about that person, every single thing. It was several pages at the end. And then, being the nerd that I am, I thought I was really going to send this letter. So I rewrote it. And I did all of this by hand, by the way, and not with typing. And if you're capable of doing it by hand, like if your hands work well enough to do it, you should, because there's something to the pen, to mm-hmm. the paper. But I rewrote it. I edited it. I took out the parts that were silly and the parts that were overly emotional or whatever, and some of the cuss words. And then when I was finished, I felt that I did not need to send it because I had gotten it all out. And so then I just burned it. And that worked really well for me. And I've come up with, you know, versions of that for my clients to use as well. And I think for me, that was a huge starting point. It was like it was a huge release just to get it off my chest mm-hmm. and to say all the things, because the problem is, I think the reason that a lot of us stay angry is that narcissists are like very pro no closure. They don't like closure. Mm-hmm. They want to keep that door open, right, for supply or whatever in the future. So that has worked for me. What about you, Lise? What has worked for you to help release the anger?
To help release the anger and realizing that willpower is a myth. I've experienced that feeling totally that it's not, you know, fake it till you make it doesn't actually work.
Right. In this
but
case,
it does. And it doesn't, it's not, it doesn't work. It drops in a bucket towards the something that will work.
That's right.
So it's a lot for me. It was a lot of things. It was going, okay, fine. I don't want to go take a walk, but I'm going to take the stupid walk anyway. And I don't feel any better when I get home. But you know what? After doing that for 6 months, I actually wanted the walk and I actually felt better, because it does increase your dopamine. It does increase your serotonin. Mm-hmm. So you are doing something up here in your brain that you're not aware of in your emotions, in your psyche, that actually does lend towards something better. So that's not willpower. That's kind of forcing yourself to do it. And I did similar with a letter, except I actually sent it.
Look at you. I love it.
But I would not recommend that to anyone.
I would not either.
I would not recommend it. And I'm just saying it because it's true. And also I knew it was the thing that particular narcissist psychopath needed to have his ego diminished to the point where he would now see me as the enemy and not Hoover. And that was a very specific situation. So don't recommend that, I'll tell you what happened, which is the worst and most horrible thing for most people. For me, it was like, see, I knew it. I knew you're going to do that. You're crazy. Do I need to call the authorities? Have you lost your mind? Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're really going through something, you know, that you need help. Clearly this was all about you needing help. So less closure. So don't do it. But anyway, so in a sense that helped me, because I kind of knew that was coming, but at the same time I felt what everyone feels, which is, well, I just got less closure.
Absolutely. I wanted to pick up on something that you said. You mentioned the walk. And I wanted to say something about that. Two things. First of all, that's a great pattern interrupt. And I think pattern interrupt is a great way to deal with those feelings in the moment. Mm-hmm. Like, so if you feel yourself raging on the inside and you have to like go walk your kid to school, or you have to like be a human in a situation that you don't necessarily feel like dealing with, this is when pattern interrupt is really helpful. So a walk is one you can do, of course, but there are so many other ones that you can do, like, you know, brush your hair, brush your teeth, stand up and move around, go into the next room, go out on the front porch, whatever, you know, do something to change your environment or physical self-care, anything like that. And when you use a pattern interrupt, what happens is basically, like, if you've ever heard someone, if you have a story that you've told 1,000 times and you're telling a story at a party and somebody walks up and they interrupt your story, right? And you know that story so well, and you've told it so many times, you could almost tell it in your sleep, right? But this person walked up and interrupted you. So in that moment, you might go, well, now, where was I? Right. When you
yep.
That moment is where pattern interrupt comes in. Mm-hmm. So in that moment, when you, I'm so angry, I'm so upset, and then you stop and you do something different, there's that split moment where you can go, okay, now what was I thinking again? That's when you change it. Mm-hmm. Take that moment and go, I'm going to do something. I'm going to feel better. I'm going to do something different. Think something positive, related or otherwise, but just that moment's where interrupt works.
Okay. Right. You're taking it away from will into choice at that point.
Yes.
And it's a split second sometimes. And you're like, there it is. Okay. Take it. Go.
Truly.
And before you go right back into the most important thing I wanted to say for me is for what helped me rather was, yes, I feel all this. Yes. I don't know if I'm ever going to get over this. And now what? Mm-hmm. And now what? Cause I can't stay. What? I can't just stay living. I can't just, it feels like I'm in a hamster wheel.
Yeah.
So now what? And then the now what's you have to start. That's when I realized it's up to us. No one could do this for me.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately. I really wish, but no.
Yeah. Well, and this is, you mentioned dopamine earlier, and this is another important thing to think about. So we know that going through these types of relationships, excuse my nose here, it's itchy. It affects the part of the same part of the brain as addiction, right? Mm-hmm. So you, just like if you were addicted to like cocaine or alcohol or some other drug or shopping or gambling, mm-hmm. you're addicted to the narcissist and their abuse, believe it or not. Because, and this is related to the dopamine and the fact that, you know, when you're in this relationship, your brain chemicals are doing this. Mm-hmm. And so you almost sort of forget how to make it on your own in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, in a, this is a very oversimplified version, but you get the idea. So what Lise was saying about dopamine, you know, if you go for a walk or you do some sort of exercise, and there are a lot of other ways you can also stimulate that production, right? But it might take a while. As she said, it took about 6 months. Mm-hmm. But it, that is one way to bring it back to yourself. So do you want to talk on that a little more?
No? I think what you're saying is that the pattern interrupt, mm-hmm. and things like that will affect your brain chemistry. What it also does is it affects your neural pathways. So you're not only having this horrible feeling and doing something about it that's different, that's more healthy for you, that mm-hmm. then become, what happens is we go straight to the quickest neural pathway, and the quickest neural pathway is F them. Yeah. I don't, whatever the anger mm-hmm. is, or the sadness or the depression, and then our brains keep running on that path. So if you interrupt, you not only have the boosted, you're taking what happens naturally in the trauma bond cycle and moving it over into a different channel that gets mm-hmm. you, that changes the neural pathways, so that when you have a problem or a trigger, you actually have a coping skill.
Yes.
Instead of going straight, I miss the narcissist, I'm angry. It goes over here, and it takes literally 90 days minimum to get, and doing it over and over and over and over to get that to start clicking in. And it is super, it is an addiction, and it is very similar to a gambling addiction. So
yes, in particular, and this is how you rewire your brain. This is neuroplasticity,
yes. And this is how we, when we think we can't heal, it's, we have to, there's a lot of steps. Unfortunately, we're not just sad.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's literally, I think people go through the entire grief process, and that's just part of it.
That's just a piece. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's crazy. Okay. I hope that was a little bit helpful for you, 75. All right. Let's see. Marianne says, I'm angry, but I feel more pain, and my heart is broken because how I've been treated by my ex-narcissist husband and narcissist mother. For me, the mother one is the worst pain in my heart. Why doesn't she love me? Okay, Marianne, this I can relate to. My mother was my first one as well. It is painful, and it is, in my opinion, far worse in some ways than the other one, the husband. And the reason, well, it was for me, not for everyone. The reason it was for me is because I grew up knowing that I was not good enough, and feeling that I was not even a whole person. I've talked about this a lot. I'm not going to go into all the details, but growing up feeling like you're nothing, mm-hmm. feeling like you're a fraud, like constant imposter syndrome, right? Because always being minimized and ignored, or anytime you say anything that's really important to you, this is what happens. Best case scenario, right? Mm-hmm. So I know that it's painful, and here's the thing, Marianne, it's not that you are not lovable. It is that she herself isn't capable mm-hmm. of loving you the way that you deserve to be loved. That's not your fault. Mm-hmm. That's probably related to her own trauma. And if you think back to what she may have told you about her childhood, or what you may know about her childhood, there's probably some evidence that she herself was broken in some way, and then unfortunately neglected your emotional needs and may have gone even further than that. But I promise you this, it's not because you're not lovable. It's because she's not capable. For me, it helps to see the limitations of a narcissist and their personality disorder. It helped me to heal, to know that at least some of her stuff was unrelated to me personally. It was about her own issues, you see. Mm-hmm. So I hope that helps a little bit. Lise, any thoughts for Marianne?
That was exactly what was going on in my head, what you were just saying, that there's coming to a place where you can accept who they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like who they are and what they are, and what they are and who they are is literally all there is. There
yes.
isn't any other wise. There isn't any other, there's nothing about you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to separate. And unfortunately, when you have a narcissistic mother in particular, they are so controlling of making you a piece of them.
Yes. They see you as a,
Yeah, extension. And they don't let you individuate. They don't let you become an individual adult. Mm-hmm. When it has to do with, you can do it as long as you're separate from the relationship with them. Yes. And so you have part of your life where you're an individual and adult, but the emotional side that wants mother's love isn't, it can't individuate because they don't let you, because you're not a person to them. You're a transactional thing that they use, and it's awful, and it isn't about you, and it's super sad, and there's a lot of grief, and there's a lot of anger that often hides that grief, often protects us from feeling that grief. So maybe it's a processing the grief underneath it again that can help you through the anger.
Yes, 100%. I agree. Okay, Del. Hey, Del. Del says, I've got the same anger there, but mixed with other feelings. I'm watching everyone else in their lives while also having to fawn while trying to get healthy enough to work again. Okay, let's talk about that. So Del, are you still in the relationship? I need to ask that because I see you saying you're fawning, and I believe that's something you only do in the relationship, right? My understanding of that is when you just sort of let them be what they are and you agree with them regardless of whether they're accurate or not. You might like this a lot, right? Give me some details on that. But in general, watching everyone else with their lives, you know, live their lives and be happy and et cetera, and then, you know, trying to get healthy enough to work again, it's very difficult when you're still in the relationship. I guess I want to know more about your fawning. And Lise, do you have any thoughts for what I've...
Yeah, I need to know more specifically too, what the question is.
Okay, we'll watch for that. Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. Mary Ann is from Jamaica. Hey, girl, hey. All right, Ellen says, we can learn so much from each other. Oh my gosh, so true. Hey, Salma, helpful mom, thank you for posting those things, those awesome, all that information. I can't think of it. Yes. We appreciate you. Hey, Peggy. Peggy says, I rarely get angry. The only thing that can bring out anger in me is if I see someone else or something else, animals, et cetera, being abused. That's when my claws come out. Oh, I feel you. Mm-hmm. I'm like that a little bit myself. It takes me a minute. Now, sometimes I have like flash in the pan anger. I'm usually able to control that. But sometimes I'm, and sometimes I cuss when I'm driving. I'm not going to lie. People are stupid drivers. but sometimes when I wake up in the morning and there's, the trash hasn't been taken out because it's one of my kids' chores, I get a little testy. But mostly real anger for me, it's things like that. And if somebody, it's not even anger, I guess, when it comes to my kids. Like if somebody tries to, like I hear about a bully or worse, an adult who's done or said something inappropriate, done or said something I didn't like around one of my children or to one of my children, my claws come out, but they come out like, oh yeah, let's play. Like that. Like I get really calm, mm-hmm. and really like, it's really a good thing I'm scared of prison. That's all I'm going to say. I'm telling you, because sometimes I think mean things about people when they come after my kids. People don't usually, but they're, I feel, you know, and on the animals thing, I know, Lise, you're a big animal advocate.
Oh, well, both. I get it. It's the innocence and it's justifiable why you'd be angry, and you're talking about an injustice
that's
happening to someone innocent. And so, I guess I would say that, like, maybe there's some anger that, I mean, we don't have to feel angry. That's the thing. People think we have to feel angry in order to get through things. And I don't think we do. I think it helps some people. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know what I mean? I think there's, if you can process the emotion underneath the anger before it turns to anger, you know.
I think you're right in many cases, and I don't feel always angry every time. Right.
Most of us need a little anger, but I don't think it's, I know I've had clients say, why can't I get angry? And when I talk to them, they're actually just really good at processing what they feel in the moment.
Right.
And I think, well, because you're actually working through it, and
right,
you know, maybe that is anger.
Right. Well, and I personally, growing up, I was not allowed to be angry.
Right. There's that. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's that. Anger, everybody's different. That's the thing, is that when we talk about this, everyone's so different and has a different relationship with anger. And a lot of us are afraid of anger because we've had anger at us.
Yes.
And so we don't want to be that thing.
Yes. Go ahead.
No, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say, and kids, sometimes our kids become sensitive to it. So, you know, my kids, if I even look at that, like if I talk a little bit louder because I get excited, they're like, "Mom, are you okay?"
Yeah. Don't get. Yeah.
That's fine. I'm just talking. But I think some people are just very sensitive to that stuff. But for me personally, I needed to be angry to propel out. I had to. There was, otherwise I would have just kept staying. And so I think it just depends on the personality. And it's not that I couldn't process. It's just that I couldn't get out of the hole.
You couldn't get out of the hole. No, that makes sense because you were so tolerant of that hole. You needed the anger to say, "No way, girl," and pluck you out like you were that little animal or that child. Yeah.
I was very comfortable in the hole.
Yep. That's the problem. Yep.
Yeah. Even though I hated it.
No, exactly. You're comfortable doesn't mean it feels good. It means you're used to it and you're tolerant of it. So,
right. It was just, I was used to it. And this is how life was. And then, you know, here's the other side of that coin. Let me just throw it out here for you. Getting out of the hole, even though it's necessary and it's worth it. Mm-hmm. It's hard. Mm-hmm. Right.
It hurts more coming out. You have to be more uncomfortable in the situation than you are comfortable with the abuse.
Right.
And that takes a brain twister to figure out.
Oh, it's hard. Yeah. Yes. And it's, you know, I had to keep going, am I really going to do this for the rest of my life? Is this really what I'm going to live with? This is what, you know what I mean? And it took a while, it took a long time. In fact, I think I was fully out before I was angry enough to really get it. Like I went through this point at which I'm like, okay, logically I get it. But it took a while before I got it here.
Yeah,
here.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah, I do. I think it was about 3 months out that I finally got angry.
Yeah.
I was angry the whole time. It was just low level anger. Right. And that anger that is like propelling was about 3 months out.
Yeah.
And I watch clients go through it a lot too. They like, I thought I was healing and now I'm really mad. I'm like, good.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, just a little bit. Yes, I'm loving it. I love it. And it helps to be able to say all those things. And it's empowering, right?
It is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, I got to this point where I remember exactly what I was doing. I was sitting, it doesn't matter, but I remember the moment at which I suddenly realized, oh my God, it really wasn't my fault. And it was way later than it should have been, y'all. Way later.
It's okay. No judgment on timing.
Right. But I got it. And I was like, it took a long time. Anyway. Okay. All right. Peggy, thanks for that. Cause that really brought us a lot of discussion there. All right. Let's see here. Mystique. Hello. Marianne says it hit me 2 weeks ago. All I heard in my head was, she never really loved me. Can you believe I actually heard that from within? I said, what? I heard it aloud and it was clarity. Hey, I get that. When I figured out the letter thing, I literally heard aloud, almost like a whisper in my physical ear, you have to forgive him. And I was like, what? I was mad at that whisper. Okay. You know? And so that was the letter. Okay. And at the end of my letter, I wrote, and now, even though you don't deserve it, I forgive you, not for you, but for me, because I need this toxic anger out of myself and my life and my space. Again, I didn't send the letter, so he never knew I forgave him. But I didn't forgive him in the traditional, like, okay, I forgive you, let's move on. It was like, I forgive you, goodbye. So I felt like I now.
There's a phrase in a song. It says, I banish you with love.
Bam. That's it.
I love it. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes. Yep. That's it. Yes. Okay. Oop, now my chat just scrolled way down. Where were I? Okay. Okay. I hate when I do that. Okay. Jack said, I lost it. Here, I got it now. Okay.
I'm glad you do this too. I do the same thing on chat. I'm like, where am I?
It only scrolls on you. Oh my gosh. Okay. Oh, Marianne said, I felt a feeling of peace when I realized that a boost of truth, but now dealing with the knowing that it's a mother, and it's weird how mothers can be like this. They carry us. Yeah. It's their personality issues. Jack says, my father was devastated. Sorry. I'm just going to add this because it's on the same thing really quick. My father was devastated when I said mom crushed out all the love I had for her a long time ago. but he is her head narcissist enforcer, flying monkey. Yeah. So what about the feeling of peace when you realized, but also it's shocking about how mothers carry us. Any thoughts on that?
Again, it's not you. It's not you. It's acceptance that a narcissist. So looking at narcissists in general and categorizing her with other narcissists, they have no empathy and they have no ability to be accountable.
Right.
They don't care. They care about the world supporting their ego and their delusion of themselves.
Yep.
That's it. And so it isn't about you. And it's sad for you that you didn't have what you needed.
Yep.
And turning toward to them and saying, why, after a while becomes a squeezing blood from a turnip, because the why is that they're a narcissist. There is no other. It's looking at the way narcissists behave.
Yes.
And accepting that that is how she is. And then you find that love elsewhere. You reparent yourself. You find it in good friends. You find it in nature. You find it in the way you nurture others and yourself. So.
Correct. Yep. Hey, somebody wants to follow. Are you on Instagram? I can't remember.
I am. I don't.
Marianne. Version,
you know what? I'm going to look while you do the next thing.
Okay. We're going to move. Okay. So Lise will, Marianne.
That is how often I go there.
Yeah. Okay. Del said, welcome back, by the way. I forgot to tell you that. I just saw it just now. Okay. Okay. Here we go. Okay. Okay. Here we go. Joey said, thank you, by the way, for the advice. Oh, how's Dana doing? Dana's doing well. I think I mentioned this earlier. But she's, I may have just mentioned it before. Dana will be back next week. I think I did for the Tuesday stream. And then Lisa and I will be moving to Fridays. Okay.
Found it. You want the Instagram real quick?
Yeah, please.
Lise Colucci, LiseColucci, all smushed together, _ queen being, _ coach.
just type Lise Colucci in the search, you'll find her.
And there's a whole bunch of me's because I do other stuff, but
okay.
Photography, but you'll see it. Obviously it's this. And okay, if, cool. The other one is fun too. So
thank you. All right. Let's see here. Ellen. Okay. Oh, Del says laughing is cathartic for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Oh, and Marianne, good for you for blocking and sticking to it. Okay. Yes. Okay. Moving on down. Regina says, how can I miss the most needy, abusive, hateful man child? Hey, girl. And what's wrong with me? 22 years of marriage and less than a year apart. Well, couple things here. We just talked about the chemical addiction, which is also part of the whole trauma bonding thing, right? And lucky for you, I have an expert on trauma bonding sitting right next to me here. Secondly, and I'm gonna ask you to talk about that in a minute, Lise. Secondly, let's not forget the fact that they were not, you know, even though you're dealing with a needy, abusive, hateful man child, right? Mm-hmm. There were those moments that were normal, right? There were those moments like, you know, maybe sharing coffee in the morning or things that even though they weren't great, they weren't terrible, that was normal. So your normal for 22 years was this person in this life. And now it's all different. And that's why you might miss him. But mostly I'm going to say trauma bonding, chemical addiction. Lise, thoughts?
First of all, I have to say it's being expert in trauma bonding.
You just happen to be really good at knowing about this.
I know. It's just, it's I'm glad. And also like, oh my God. Why do I understand it so well? Anyway, so yes, you're trauma bonded. It takes a while to break that. I don't know what's going on specifically for you. Had these long-term relationships. You're still in the cycle of thinking back to them when something happens. You're still used to micromanaging their life. You're still used to, in your brain, used to going back to them when something bad happens, thinking of them instantly. When something, you know, you're used to them being the one to dangle a carrot, pull it away, give you a carrot. So when something else in life dangles a carrot, you're instantly back on them. So it really takes time, be patient, keep aware and expect it to go away, because that doesn't often happen after, well, it can happen. It just isn't the norm after that many years. You said something else, Angie, that made me think. Oh, that you're used to the life together. You're also letting go of your hopes and dreams that you're used to for your marriage. That is a huge yes. grief. Honor it. Honor that grief in yourself and get therapy or help or coaching if you need it for that in particular, because that processing through that and moving through that can help you release these trauma bonds.
And you told me, I think that you're working with one of your coaching groups on trauma bonding, right? On releasing some of those trauma bonds.
All of the groups are really, yeah. I mean, yeah, I have a Wednesday night, but like, it's not up right now running. So don't have Wednesday right now, but if the people want it, they can sign up and say, I want trauma bonding only. And we'll do Wednesday at 4 PM.
There you go.
Otherwise, any of the group times, it's welcome. It's a welcome topic. It's a unwelcome experience and a welcome topic.
Right. I mean, a lot of what we go through in healing is releasing trauma bonding, at least.
It is. It is. And remember, it's in layers. It's not like you go unlock, boom, now the trauma bonds are gone.
Right.
It just comes exactly. back and it comes back. And then it's like, you feel better, you don't, you feel better, you don't. So it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. and a year isn't a long time, by the way.
No, it's not. Yeah. And she, yeah. Especially after 22 years of marriage. Yeah. A lot of people think, yeah. well, can't I just heal in like a couple of weeks? No, not usually.
Sorry. I wish. Yeah.
I wish too. It'd be so much easier. but yeah. Okay, good. James says, after months of no contact, I bumped into my ex-girlfriend late in May. She breadcrumbed me again and I let it happen, including pushing a job at her place. Oh goodness. I don't know if you're still in the situation, James, and I'm sorry if you are. I guess you are, because I'm assuming that, did you get the job at the place? I'm not sure. It sounds like you were hoovered.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
Yeah. Give us a little more information and we can give you some, do you have any thoughts on what he's given us so far, as far as.
It sounds like he's feeling, what, tell me the first part again.
After months of no contact, I bumped into my ex-girlfriend late May. She breadcrumbed me again and I let it happen, including pushing a job at her place.
Okay. I hear that I let it happen part. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So now what? That's what I say. You know, like it's yeah. what, as we, so it's the same thing as like, say you're starting to date again. And you meet someone and you're 3 months in and you're like, holy crap, they are, it's happening again. We can't beat ourselves up for trying. We can't beat ourselves up for thinking that maybe it could be different with someone. We have to then stop, step out of it, move forward. Does that make sense? And then there's no reason to, you know, I let myself, okay, that's cool. You've taken accountability. Now what? That's kind of how I look at it. Yeah.
That's very astute. Yes. And Bill says he went no contact with his narcissistic birth mother for 17 years and then 6 years plus now. Yeah, I tried to reconnect with mine at one point for a specific reason and it did not work out. It's almost, I've never heard anybody be able to like go no contact with a toxic mother and then reinitiate contact, except when she becomes, what's the word? You know, when she loses,
she becomes like
dementia. I'm sorry. I'm over here talking about being old and losing your ability to remember things. And I'm forgetting what I'm talking about.
Oh, like if they lose the capacity for memory from something yeah. like Alzheimer's or something similar.
Yeah, because their ego goes usually at that point.
Sometimes. You should have seen my grandpa.
Sometimes.
Holy cow. But it was funny then, because you'd be like, dude, you're in pajamas saying that. You know, like, come on. Like, that's like that.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. It's something. Okay. but even then, like Lee said, it's not, there's no guarantee. I always like to hope that those who were the worst would, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We like to think that time will make it better and that we're stronger. And so we can see it differently. But the truth is, the inner child needs a mom, needs a dad, whatever it is. The inner child is what the one that wants to, or the guilt of not speaking to the parent or whatever society, you know, and unless you can enter it from a place of indifference, simply to perform a duty or whatever it is you think you need, whatever it is you thinking you need, that isn't the things that'll actually get you into trouble for yourself, you know, get you into pain.
Yeah.
And that's mostly impossible for people.
Right. And I feel like in this case, you're talking about a narcissistic birth mother, unless you're just saying that like egg donor, then like if this is a woman who gave you up for adoption, I think you owe her nothing.
Exactly. That's yeah.
So, and I don't think any of us owes our parents anything after 18, right? Yeah. Because And I don't even think my kids are.
We need to like relate to them as adults then.
Yes.
And that's the problem with a narcissist. You can't, because you're always the role they put you in.
Yes. And they will see you as a perpetual child and mm-hmm. or a perpetual loser teenager. That's what my mom sees me as. 40, whatever. Okay. Moving on. I'm sorry about the noise in the background. I've got some boys in my kitchen doing some things. All right. Let's see. Oh, Marianne wants us to do an Instagram live so supporters can tell our stories because I want to share mine. Well, I would be open to that idea if one of you guys would email me, maybe Jack would email me about it to remind me to look into it, because I've never done Instagram live before, but I'm open to it. Lise, you open sure. to it?
Why okay. not?
Right now. Right on. Okay. Jack says, oh, thank you. 75 says, my ex is now an MSW too. Somebody with a master of social work. I have seen that way too many. Seen people, you know, be therapists or coaches or
yep.
MSW, oh, yeah. right? And they're narcissists. That's the worst. And of course, they will re-victimize the victims.
Those... Nurses, especially ICU and emergency. Not that all are, because there's amazing people out there doing amazing work.
Lots.
But you see them yes. in these places of caregiving. That's the vulnerable communal narcissist.
No doubt. No yeah. doubt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hello, Linnell. Welcome back. Okay, James says, so I wrote and asked her to clarify. This is the one that was talking about the girlfriend that he ran into. Mm-hmm. I wrote and asked her to clarify because we'd agreed I wouldn't invade her space. No reply. A week later, I told her I applied and she went mad. And then I unloaded about her infidelity and I feel better. Well, hey,
you
I'm glad you feel better.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of hilarious that she had a problem with you applying when she told you about the job.
Mm-hmm.
I hope either you don't get the job or she, unless you want it, or she works in a different part of that company
yeah.
For your own sake, right?
Mm-hmm.
Although if you don't have a problem with her, I mean, if you can see her and not be bothered by it, it might be hilarious if she's bothered by seeing you. I'm just kidding. Don't do that.
Yeah, the risk of smear and
so bad.
Is too high. Yeah.
No doubt. Okay. Wendy says, is it safe to assume that your narcissistic best friend will never contact you again after this friend ended the friendship, since you never chased, initiated contact, etc.? No, sadly, nope. No. It's never. Not safe. Nope. No. Right? Because they can come back 20 years later sometimes. Sometimes it's the next day.
Usually it's by proxy with a flying monkey. And yes. That's still a Hoover.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. in a situation where you don't have any people in common or your people are, you know, not flying monkey types, they definitely will one way or another. Sometimes mm-hmm. it'll be like, oh, I didn't mean to send that text to you. It was for somebody else. Or, mm-hmm. I found this thing of yours in my house. You know, you left this water bottle here 10 years ago.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, so that's really important. I thought you might need it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I wouldn't count on it, but I would definitely, if you don't want that person in your life, Wendy, I would block that person. Mm-hmm. And I would not allow them to contact you if possible. Lise, any thoughts? But like Lise said, it's possible that a flying monkey comes through.
Thoughts yeah, there's all this. Kinds of possibilities for it, but mostly I'd say it's never safe to assume a narcissist won't. I mean, even though I said I wrote a letter, blah, 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 and because I knew it would make them never, ever. I fully expect there'll be a Hoover at some point.
Oh yeah. When it's convenient for them or they need something or want something.
Yep. When it's, I thought COVID would do it, but it didn't. So I don't care.
Good news.
I think that like when we talk about anger, I think the best, like to me,
mm-hmm.
the best place I could get with it was indifference.
Oh, indeed.
It's yeah. like,
that's the best place to be.
That's the best place to be. And when you have to have one in your life, like low contact, it's really difficult. You can still get there.
Yes. And that's, you know, if you have kids or you have some legal, mm-hmm. legally binding reason that you must be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Good information. Okay. Rye says, I'm still angry at cheating, abusive ex-narcissist and the narcissist son I had with him.
Mm.
That would be frustrating. I'm sorry to hear about your son. I don't know how old your son is, but I think that children can be often redeemed. Sometimes they're just dealing with what, you know, we call fleas, narcissistic fleas, where they're just habits and stuff they've picked up. I'm assuming that this is not a child you're talking about. given that you called him a narcissist. So I would say, I'm very sorry that you were in that situation. I'm sorry that your son is having a difficult, is making life harder for you. But I think the anger is justified when it comes to the cheating abusive ex. And I understand that, but I guess I would ask you, how far are you in your healing? How long have you been gone? I would ask questions. Lise, do you have anything to add to that before I go take this?
Yeah, without the same questions, you know, like how long has it been? It's hard to
right.
give much. If it's been a while though, then it's possibly start focusing on one's own path
yes.
forward and less on them. And you can, so what I do with stuff like that is I have a little trick of setting timers and given time for that thought. Mm-hmm. And then when the timer goes off, it's done.
Yeah.
It's a discipline, but it's in order to not live in anger all the time.
Right.
Or
right.
sadness or whatever you're. Yeah.
Yeah.
But important. That's only if you've been there and you're there for years and years and like stuck in anger.
Right. Yep. Okay. Can you hear me, Lise?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just making sure because my screen stopped.
Okay.
There it went again. Okay. We have a question from House of Jazz. This is a super chat. Thank you, by the way, for the super chat. And Jazz says, is it okay to tell the narcissist that they were wonderful to me and I wish I could have made them happy as a way to get them to want to move on? She became a part of my online community and I know she talks to some of them. Okay, this is actually a really great question.
It is, I'm thinking.
yes, this is really good. Okay, so listen, I'm gonna say if you can have them graciously or gracefully exit your community in this way, yes, tell them that, whatever they need to hear. Mm-hmm. If this is a way to smooth things over, to get them, but don't want to tell them something like that so that then they want to stay. That's mm-hmm. the only problem. Mm-hmm. So I guess if you need to say, I wouldn't say anything that wasn't entirely untrue, right? So if that person was helpful and good at the beginning, yeah, say that. You know, I wish I could have made you happy. If that's helpful, you know, I think you have to be very aware of how that person might react to such things. I think that can, this type of sort of, I want to say manipulation, which I know it's like coaxing.
It's management.
Yeah, management, narcissistic management. This is effective. It is to get them to calm down and to stop whatever. However, with that being said, yeah, if it's a way to get them to move on or to want to move on, you know, certainly you could say, you know, it's been great working with you. You've been amazing. I understand the situation isn't working out anymore. And I wish you the best as you move forward, something like that. And maybe even go so far as to create some sort of announcement in the group that that person can see before you throw them out on their butt. That could be helpful. But yeah, I think it's fine to say whatever you need to say. Just be very careful to not be so nice that they want to stay in that case. My thoughts, Lise.
Yeah, and that's another one that's a little bit tricky without specifics because it's hard
exactly.
without knowing how that particular narcissist, they all act the same in the way they abuse and manipulate, but they are all individuals.
That's right.
That. They're people that have this thing that makes them behave through that thing, they behave in certain ways, but they are each going to respond differently according to who they are.
Right.
So I don't know.
We would need more details. Yeah.
We need more details, but yes, I mean, obviously what you said is what I would say too. I would say keep it as minimal as possible and as polite as possible without any open questions that come back.
Yes.
If you open it, be careful, like how you mm-hmm. word it so that it doesn't leave any questioning or anything. They're going to reply. So mm-hmm. it's going to be a back and forth.
Yes.
And so then there's that you're going to have to deal with.
Right. I think that this would be a good, this type of situation is something that you could work through, probably do an hour of coaching with somebody and just kind of
figure out, because it's really specific.
It right? is. Yes, we do have a setup on the Queen Being website where you're absolutely welcome to share your story there. And we publish those, you know, on our website. So if you want to write your story, we absolutely. Lynette says, how to deal with guilt from from reactive abuse? I acted way out of character when triggered. Oh, this is a good question, Lynette. So what this comes down to is you have to recognize that what you're saying is, I feel guilty for the way that I reacted to being abused. First of all, mm-hmm. that in itself, say that sentence out loud. Say it out loud.
I feel guilty for how I reacted to being abused.
Yeah. It's not, you were abused.
Illogical. Yeah. It's illogical in a sense, but it's real.
And we've been there. I've been there. You have too, right, Lise?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think almost everybody who's with a narcissist long enough ends up doing something they regret that pushes mm-hmm. their boundaries, that pushes their moral compass, that puts them in a position to do and say things they never would have done.
Yes.
Whether it's abuse, reactive abuse, or overt fawning, mm-hmm. or falling on the ground in a puddle, crying on the bathroom floor, hugging the toilet. Hello.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, like, hello. Things that, like the, why would I do that over the dumbest argument on earth?
Right.
Just to save the person who is not worth it.
Right.
But yeah. And I think that the guilt is, I'm sorry, you were talking, but yeah, the guilt is, it's natural to feel that.
It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also the weird sex stuff. That's the thing that some of us end up doing that we didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that too. So it's not just reactive abuse. It's the weird, all of it. Yeah.
All the things. Yeah.
All the things. Yeah. Yes.
Yep. Okay. House of Jazz says, thanks for your insight. Absolutely. My pleasure. My pleasure. Thanks for the super chat. I appreciate you. And please let us know if you have any details you want to share. I'm happy to give you more than what we've given you so far. I just, yeah.
Right. It's, yeah, it needs to be. Don't want to give the wrong information without the information.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Let's see here. Yeah. So Lynette, I think forgive yourself is my point. The thing I want to say to you is forgive yourself. Give yourself a little bit of grace. Recognize that you were reacting to abuse, that we all have done something, whether we, like Lee said, whether it's related to anger or something else, we have all, you know, you get pushed to your limit. You're a human. You're allowed to feel things. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I mean, unless you physically maimed this person to the point that they are changed forever, let it go, honey. Mm-hmm. Just forgive yourself. You deserve that much. Ask yourself this. This has really been helpful for me. If you have a child or someone else who you love unconditionally in the world, ask yourself, what if that person came to me and said, I felt really bad about what I did to this person after they abused me, mm-hmm. or because of their abuse, you know, how I reacted. Would you say, you're a terrible person. Why would you ever do? No. You would say, it's okay, honey. I understand. I love you. And it's okay. You didn't do anything. You just defended yourself, or you reacted like a human. You know what I'm saying? You would be compassionate to that person. Mm-hmm. So try to have that much compassion for yourself if you can. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts for Lynette before we move on?
That it's, if you're feeling also like with the trauma bonds that come, if you're feeling also anything that relates to abuse amnesia, or like, it wasn't really that bad, I shouldn't have reacted that way, it wasn't that bad. You know, if you're feeling any of that cognitive dissonance going on with you right now, and mm-hmm. you're having this reactive abuse guilt, look at that reactive abuse. Would you ever in any other relationship in your life do that?
Right.
When I ask people that question in coaching them, they almost across the board say, no, I have never acted that way in my life. Or yeah, I get mad, but I don't do that. You know, so what that tells me is that your relationship you were in, there was something up, and you weren't it. It was the other person. So use it as validation that what you have come through and gone out of, you needed to get out of.
That's right.
And, yeah.
Good
and,
call.
Yeah. And also, again, lots of compassion for yourself.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Good stuff. Bill says, it's interesting to me that I dissociated 90% of my first 12 years of life until doing trauma work over the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. I absolutely get that. Mm-hmm. And Lise, he tagged you in that one. So I don't know if you want to share your thoughts on that. Dissociation is real.
Oh yeah.
It still happens to me sometimes.
Mm-hmm. It's a really useful coping skill to make it so that the abuse doesn't hurt so bad.
That's right. That's exactly literally
yeah.
how I started doing it, because I thought, I'm just going to go to my happy place while this is going on.
And
yeah, that's why I say it's a little dangerous sometimes that's why I don't recommend gray rock as a way of life.
Because, no, it's a tool to maintain something while you have to.
Yes.
And to get out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But as a way of life, it makes you can almost get stuck there mm-hmm. and forget to feel things. And
yep. And unfortunately it shuts down most of the feelings. So you don't feel anything quite as much.
Exactly.
So why, well, it's over. I should feel happy. Well, you've been shut down for 20 years.
Yeah. You're still a human.
Give it some space. You'll find that joy. Go look for it. And then, yeah.
It's let hard.
It is hard. Yeah.
Maybe that's something that we can talk about in our Friday stream is waking up and coming back to life again.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah, it's a good Friday talk.
I like a Friday talk. Okay. okay, I know we're probably over time. Usually it tells me it's still saying I started streaming 1 minute ago for some reason.
It's been a really long minute, Angie.
Really long minute. Okay. Yes. So on this note, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap up because I know Lise has other appointments and so do I today. So we will see you either this Friday or next Friday. I'm going to try for this Friday, but at the very latest, it'll be next Friday before we start our Friday things. But okay. Maybe this week.
If we don't make it, I will try.
On your channel?
Head. Yeah.
Okay. So one way or another, make sure you text. Right?
I don't know why appointments are like.
It's a thing. I have problems. I do. I have problems. Sometimes
I can do appointments if it's forced. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
It's this. Yeah. Something about scheduling gets like.
It's hard.
I'm frozen.
It's hard. It. Yes.
Yeah.
We're survivors too. Just don't forget.
Yes, we okay. are.
So make sure you text Lise Live, all one word, or Angie Live, all one word, to 33222 to be notified. I would suggest if you want to make sure you're heard on that, you get someone on Friday, text both.
Mm-hmm.
We send out messages, 5 to 10 minutes before we go live usually. Huffle Mom, if you'll throw all of our reminders in the chat, that would be awesome. Thank you for our admin team that's here today and the mod squad, Huffle Mom and Jack Lumen, I think are the only two I saw in the chat today. Thank you guys for being here. And for everyone who's here today, for those members that are here, for our friend who gave us a super chat, thank you. Lise, love you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any questions?
The great questions today. There's
yes.
Amazing really questions. Good questions. And yeah, it's awesome. Good.
Yeah. So you sometimes stream by yourself even without me, right?
I stream by myself at least once a week right now. I'm aiming for a couple times a week, but once a week right now. So, and usually I just talk about a topic because I don't have the same back and forth with questions. So come on over and ask questions if you want.
Get on over there. Yeah. Yeah. And let her, and she, like I said, make sure you subscribe and hit the bell notification on both channels so you will be notified when we go live.
Yes.
And also send the message, like I said. All right. Any last words of wisdom for this amazing?
No, thank you, Angie.
My pleasure.
Everybody take care.
We'll see you guys. Thank you, Lisa. And we'll see you guys next time. Have a lovely Tuesday.
I can do that too.